to verse 8. Verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 and chapter 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians and 2nd chapter. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers, or power, and signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now notice those words. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. That means he has more capacity to deceive than anybody that's ever walked the earth of ours. And he comes with all deceivable power. With all deceivable power of unrighteousness to them that perish. To them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now before I read another verse, let me make a simple statement. The word of God does not save you. The truth of God does not save you. I want you to get that and kind of shake a little bit. It is the love of the truth that saves you. Many people know more about the Bible as far as how to quote it and maybe even how to talk about the simplicity of it than I do. Many people have memorized great portions of the Bible, and there's a lot of TV and radio preachers that can take every story in the Bible and preach them eloquently and with great, great learning. But the truth doesn't save you. It's the love of the truth that saves you. Do you get that? Can you handle that? How much do you love the truth? How much do you love the Bible? How much do you love the Word of God? All right, let's read on. If we might, I'll read that verse one more time, if you'll let me. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. Now listen to that. You reject the Bible. You refuse to love the truth of God's word. You will not let it change your life. And you reach a point to where God then has to send you strong delusions. God sends them. Not man. God sends strong delusions that you might believe a lie and be damned. Huh? That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, help your servant to preach tonight. I know you've given me this message for tonight, and I preach it with all my heart. These are your people. These are your people. I don't know the heart of everyone who sits or stands here tonight, but I know everybody here is needy. Everybody here has a future in front of them of which they must determine and they must choose. And I pray tonight that you would give us a new love for the truth like we've never felt in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching tonight on the love of the truth that saves you. The love of the truth that saves you. There are many people that will read great portions of the Bible. There's many people who have read the Bible through over and over and over. There are many people who are very religious and have a very religious attitude. There are many people who go to church regular and are involved in things that have to do with God and God's kingdom. But there's very few people today that love the Bible until it is like a fault. They love the Bible until the Holy Scripture just consumes them. They're in love with the truth. And so I preach tonight on the love of the truth that saves. The love of the truth that saves. When you fall in love with the Bible and you live a life of love for the Holy Bible, it'll change everything about you. It'll take over your life. It'll put you in the middle of God's house. I said to a young man who was here this morning, he's been now 3 Sundays in a row. He came other times through maybe 3 or 4 years, a precious young man. And he's never got settled. He's never been planted, I call it. Planted. That's what the Bible calls it too, by the way. He's never been planted in the house of God. Let me tell you, when you fall in love with the truth, you'll get planted in the house of God. You'll get planted until it takes something very strong to keep you out. It takes something overwhelming to deter you, or to keep you from a service, or to keep you from faithfulness, because you have learned to love the truth. And nobody can do that but you. Nobody can take that away from you. The Holy Ghost may lead you. He may deal with you. He may prompt you. He may convict you. He may make you miserable. He may make you very, 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 very broken with a sense of need. But you ultimately decide, am I going to be a person that loves the Word of God? You decide. And when you fall in love and you begin to dig into that book, it'll just show up on you. And it'll get a hold of you. And it will possess you. I'm going to tell you, the Bible has the ability to possess you. Did you know that? It has the ability to become so real to you that you enjoy it better than any program on a television. You enjoy it better than any book you ever read. You enjoy it better than anything you ever do. You just fall in love with the Bible. That's the kind of truth that saves you from what the enemy would bring against you. The love of the truth that saves. Now, to make sure we understand what this truth represents, let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and again, this is chapter 3. And let's see what Timothy said about this Bible. What does the Bible represent? What is the Bible? A book of 66 different authors and names, a 66-volume book. I mean, a book that Jesus said he came in the volume of the book. It was written of him, according to Paul in Hebrews. He came in the volume of the book. I mean, he came in the fullness of the book. Well, listen to what Paul says to Timothy in the second book, chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of. Have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hey, listen to that. That's a sermon. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, would you say that? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the Bible. All scripture, Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, 66 books. Every book written by a Jewish man, every book written by a Jewish man. Jesus, it was Jesus who said salvation is of the Jews. Remember that? Said it on that experience in Samaria where he saved that woman who came to the well having been married to 5 different men and now living with one to whom she was not even married in the course of her conversion. It was Jesus who said, all salvation is of, or salvation is of the Jews. All the books. Now some have argued about Luke, but I did a research recently and studied, and that's a fallacy. Luke was a Jewish person. a Jewish doctor, by the way. And he was clearly Jewish. And when I finished the study and the research, I was convinced all 66 books written by Jewish persons. And what's amazing is all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Another writer said they were given the word, I mean literally verbally, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They was given it word for word by word. And God's so unique because God could use the personality of the person who was writing. And their personality can built into how they talked and how they spoke. But yet the words were from the great God. It's kind of like speaking in tongues. A person speaks in tongues and one person sounds different from another because one person has a different a kind of lingo, a different way of speaking. And so God just uses us as individuals, but overpowering the individual, individuality and making known His word. And making known His truth. Isn't that beautiful? All scripture given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. For what? For doctrines? For reproof? The Bible will straighten you out. The old black preacher I heard one day going down the highway toward Raleigh. Wonderful preacher, man. Don't know his name. Didn't get a chance to get it. I had to stop my car in Salisbury because the signal was beginning to fade, and I couldn't fail to hear that man's sermon. It was good. He said a sermon ought to do four things. He said a sermon ought to stretch your mind. He said a sermon ought to provoke your will. He said a sermon ought to inspire your action and your obedience. Then he said a sermon ought to tan your hide. That was number four, a sermon of a 10-year hide. Well, I'm telling you, God ordained by the foolishness of preaching. How many know that's in the Bible? God ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them who believe. The center of this church is this pulpit. The center of this church is this pulpit. We love to sing. I'm believing God for more music and more people to help Sister Yvette sing and more blessed in the singing of the music. I love all of that. But I'm going to tell you, nothing takes the place of the Word. Do you love the Word? Do you love to sit under the preaching of the Word? Do you love just to hear a man of God get anointed with the Holy Ghost and preach the Holy Bible? Do you love that? Or if you don't, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. You say there's not many preachers that get anointed. There may not be, but I'm not one of them. I'm going to pray till I get anointed. I've got to have the anointing. I've got to have the anointing. All scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That you and me, all of us, may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible will change your life. You fall in love with it. You begin to listen to preaching with a delight in your soul. You ought to have a little notebook maybe with you. You ought to have some way to remember. You ought to refresh yourself in sermons when you've heard them. When you hear one that really has an effect, get your copy on the next weekend out in the lobby. Listen to it over and over. And oh, we got many people that listen to our sermons, and I am grateful. I really am. But so many people like the feelings they get, but they don't fall in love with the words they hear. It's not enough to like the feelings you get when you're hearing the Word of God preached. You got to fall in love with what the preacher says. You got to fall in love with that holy book. You got to fall in love with the Holy Scripture. Anybody hearing me tonight? The love of the truth that saves. The love of the truth that saves. God hath ordained by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God ordained that. I didn't call me to preach. I'm telling you, I didn't dare call me to preach. It could not, there's no way it could have got a hold of me to want to preach when I first got saved. It was just something that took a hold of me. I couldn't have got away from it. I used to sit when I was just a young teenage boy, called of God, sit in the church, and I could just feel myself up there preaching. And I could hear myself up there preaching. Though people would be critical when I tell them, they'd say, you're not able, you're too tongue-tied, and all kinds of things. I was trying to say a word last night, Geraldo. That's a man's name that's on Fox News, I think. And I can't never get that name right because I'm still a little tired up here in my tongue. You said, well, you sure don't sound like it. You talk 50 miles an hour. Well, I'm trying to get it up to 100, to be honest with you. I want to tell you something, church. The preaching of the Word of God is enjoyable and it's wonderful. Hallelujah. And I'm going to preach it till my toes are turned up. Somebody that loves preaching, not just me, but any good preaching. Brother Joey Yates. Oh, I can't wait to hear him all 7 nights tell me about the book of Hebrews. I promise you, he's going to feed my soul. And I'm going to get in this altar and pray till I'm a fresh filled with God's anointing. Amen? Hallelujah. The love of the truth that God hath ordained it. Not Brother Chambers. God hath ordained it. Now, the devil hates the preaching of the word. I believe, honestly believe, that the greatest thing the devil hates in today's world is the preaching of the Word of God. He don't care if you sing until you turn blue. He don't care if you're entertained by all kinds of funny stories and cute little sayings and eloquent words of very, very sharp-tongued preachers. He don't care how much of that you enjoy. The devil don't care nothing about it. But you let a man of God just open the old book and get right in the middle of it and preach the truths of this holy Bible. And the devil gets angry. Get angry, devil. Get angry, devil. I'm telling you, I love the Word of God, and he can't stop it. Did you know the devil can't stop preaching? The devil can't stop preaching until that rapture takes place. He'll stop it during the 7 years of the tribulation period, but he can't stop it now. Hallelujah. The only people I can imagine who will get saved in that tribulation period are people who have had some acquaintance with the Bible, some acquaintance with mama or daddy or some minister where they passed through a church, and they remember hearing something, heard it on the radio, or saw it on the Facebook, or heard it on an internet program. I want to tell you something, folks. The Word of God is the saving power that God hath ordained. How can they believe without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent, the Bible says. They can't be saved without a preacher. They got to hear the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, you become accountable for it. Everybody who visits this church or comes to this church or sits in this church is going to be accountable for the sermons they hear, and they won't move and they won't change. The Holy Ghost was in this place this morning. I preached the Word of God with all my heart, and there were people that were convicted, and I trust will yet be saved. But if they don't, they will answer for that sermon they heard. Did you know that? The Bible says, the Word of God shall not return void. Now listen to me, but shall accomplish that purpose whereunto the Lord hath sent it. Did you hear that? That's not Brother Chambers. That's the Word of God. The Word of God can't return void. I've been praying week by week. When Sunday's over, I start praying, God, let the Word of God prevail. Let the Word of God prevail this week. I'll come in here in the morning, everything going good. I'll put the sermon this morning on the internet. And then I'll start praying, let the Word of God prevail, Father. Let the Word of God prevail. Let it penetrate somebody's old heart. Let it break through in somebody's life. Are you praying that way with me? That's how the New Testament writers prayed. They prayed, let the Word of God prevail. They knew the four of the church was not how educated they were. They were not educated. They were common men, common people, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, he's called you to be a witness for him. He's called you to tell this word everywhere you go. He's called you to be filled with the beauty of this holy book. Now, I want to tell you, you must hear me. You're going to be weak spiritually if you don't get in there and fall in love with the Bible. You're going to be weak, and you're going to be trembly, and you're going to be in, and you're going to be out. Now, let me say something here, young people. I'm not saying this to be critical of you. I'm saying this because I love you. But I've watched young people through the years come through the church. I've seen them pray in the altars, get a touch of God, get a touch of heaven. But because they didn't settle on a Bible-centered prayer life and a Bible-centered study life, they eventually fall by the wayside and move on off away from the Bible. There are probably, easy to say, 1,000 people, and many more if we count the school students that have been in this Christian school for 42, 43 years. There are 1,000 at least, and probably 2, who have been through this church in some form of fashion, who have been in a class of school or in the sanctuary, and they've heard the word of God, and the majority of them are out there. The world has got them all tangled up. They all caught up in this and caught up with that, never got planted, never got settled, never settled down and let themselves become absolutely dedicated, absolutely hooked on the scripture, absolutely hooked on the things of God. And when Jesus comes, they're going to be left, and maybe some of them will get saved. I don't know. That's up to God. Somebody called me yesterday and tried to ask me when a person is given a reprobate mind and they can no longer have a possibility of being saved. You would not believe the multitudes of people who sat through churches for years until they've got a reprobate mind, and now they're past believing. You preach to them till you turn blue, and they'll walk out the door and go their way because God has given them a reprobate mind. Well, someone's trying to get me to decide for them where that point is, and I said, nobody knows that point. Only God can decide when he withdraws his spirit from somebody and there's no longer a possibility. Only God can give somebody a reprobate mind. I don't want that responsibility. I can tell you that. That's God's responsibility. My duty is just keep on preaching. Keep on declaring the truth. Keep on telling it like it is. But if you don't fall in love with this Bible, you're going to be weak. Hear me, boys. Listen to me. You dear sons of Sister Vet, just as sweet as you can be, precious young men, you got to fall in love with the Bible. You got to have a Bible life. You got to have a place in that home of yours where you sit down and read that Bible, where you share the scripture. Don't let some TV sitting out in the middle of the house become the hook of the family. Let the Bible become the hook of the family and get in that Bible and read it and fall in love with it. Sister Vet, Brother Joe, read that Bible to those boys. Read it to them. They may rebel sometimes and say, I want to play ball. You say, no, it's time to read and hear that Bible and fall in love with that Bible. And you fall in love with that Bible, and something's going to happen to you just exactly like it happened to me and many others. You just fall in love with the Bible. I remember when Mama and I was over here on the campgrounds in the first year of the Bible school we came to. The place called Western Electric where we worked gave me a three or four week, whatever it was, I can't remember now, 3 or 4 week off to come to Bible school. And we came to Bible school, and I found me a place out in the woods to pray, and I became known at the Bible school, the man praying out in the woods and seeking God. I fell in love with the Bible. I fell in love with the scripture. I love the things of God. When you fall in love with it, it'll make you happier than anything this world's got. Please raise your hand if you believe that. You believe that? You believe the Bible will make you happier than anything this world's got? I'm telling you, it'll make you think you're eating in a Logan's Steakhouse. It'll make you think you've been to Cheddar's when you get to reading this Bible and loving this scripture and studying this word of God. It's satisfying. How many have found out the Bible's satisfying? Come on, raise your hand way up high. You really found that out? All right, now it's up to you to love that word. The love of the truth will save you. The love of the truth will keep you. The love of the truth will break the powers of hell against you. The love of the truth will push the devil out the back door. The love of truth will sanctify you and make you purer and make you holy. The love of the truth will change everything about your life. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody help me praise him, will you? Thank you, Father, for the love of the truth. Thank you, Father, for the love of the truth. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something that's very important. How many of you know how wonderful the Holy Ghost is? Do you know how wonderful the Holy Ghost is? You understand he's the third member of the Godhead? You understand that he's God. He's the omnipresent person of the Godhead. But he has to have a weapon. Everything that the Holy Ghost does, he needs a weapon. Everything the Holy Ghost says, he needs a weapon. What is his weapon? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Is that what the book said? Say it with me. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. I went to a church some time ago, and it was connected intimately with us. And the dear preacher got in the pulpit. I don't know where he'd been. I don't know who he'd been listening to. I don't know what he'd been hearing. But he said something that was so wrong, it just broke my heart. He said, when we come here to this church, we don't let the Bible direct us how to guide this church and to direct these worship services. We only depend on the Holy Ghost. I thought, what in the world? There ain't no such thing as a Bible-believing church that obeys the Spirit without the Word. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Say that with me, would you? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is wonderful. I'm not putting down that great person of the Holy Ghost, not at all. But he does nothing separate from the Word of God. They are so intimately connected, you couldn't separate them with a dozen swords. And double-edged swords at that. They are one together. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God. I'm trying to help that man. He's a very dear man. He's a very important person. He's a good person. But somewhere and someplace, somebody said something that sounded good, and he picked up on it. And that's why we've got to be careful to stay in that Word. If the devil can send something to disconnect you from the Word of God, he'll do it, and it'll be a thrill to him. But the Word of God is the right way. The Word of God is the holy way. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost has a sword. And it's the Word of God. Woo! You know, that old double-edged sword. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon, the Bible said he has a sword proceeding out of his mouth. Well, I don't literally mean a sword coming out of his mouth. It's just every time he speaks, it's a sword. Everything he says is a sword. Everything he says cuts either to the right or to the left. You'll answer for every word you hear. You'll answer for every sermon they ever preached in your presence. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Bible is the Word of God. And I loved Isaiah 59 and 19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, I don't know what you think, but here comes the Holy Ghost. That old devil is trying to do something ugly and mean, and he's out to get your hide, and all of a sudden you say, God, I'm in trouble, I need help. And the Holy Ghost comes through with a standard, with a sword, with a divine force of resistance, and the Holy Ghost with the Word of God just breaks the powers of Satan. Hallelujah. This is a double-edged sword. Do you hear me? And the Holy Ghost is welding this sword and it's working right now across this globe of ours. Oh, hallelujah. And it won't be long. I'm telling you, it won't be long. The time of the end is upon us, and we're going to see some things that's going to amaze us. But when God moves, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Raise up your Bible, will you? I want you to get this in your heart. Brother Dylan, you're full of the Holy Ghost now. But the more you prepare your mind with this Bible, the more power the Holy Ghost will have working in you. And you fill yourself with the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost will use that word you learn and defeat the devil at every turn of your life. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Somebody help me preach tonight. Would you say praise the Lord when the enemy comes in like a flood? The Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard. You know, I never thought of that like that before. The standard of the Holy Ghost is not some imaginary thing. It's the Word of God. This is the standard. This is the standard. Hallelujah. The love of the truth that saves. I said the love of the truth that saves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now his word is so important. David said, his word have I hid in my heart that my steps might not slide. I'm dependent on the word. The word, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has every bit of the word in his very being, his person. The Holy Ghost is filled with the word. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. So every bit of the Word of God is at the possession and at the hand of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And many times in my life, the Holy Ghost has used words I hadn't even mentally learned yet. Now, he didn't use them because I was being lazy. He used them because I was digging. I was striving. And the Word of God would just grow and grow and grow. Do you want the Word of God to grow in your life? You want the Word of God to grow in your life? I'm telling you, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And I'm going to close with Psalms Division 1. Psalms Division 1. One of the greatest psalms in the Bible, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible is Psalms Division 1. It's so saturated with the Bible, with the Word of God, it always thrills me. Many times I quote it through the night. If I'm having a troubled night, the Word of God is always my stay. Always my stay. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now think about it. None of those three capacities are possible without the Word of God. None of them. You can't be careful not to listen to the teachings of the ungodly if you don't know what the Bible teaches. Because you won't know whether they're teaching some error or teaching some false thing. You got to know the Bible. You got to know the Word of God. So blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, it's very important. You've got to know the Bible. You've got to have it written all over you. You got to love it. You got to love it and love it. But I love verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Brother Kenny said this evening here at church, he said, the people I work with tell me, Kenny, you don't have to take things so serious. You don't have to be so caught up in this. Can't you back off a little bit? You know, sometimes we just want you to be Kenny and having a big laugh with us. And I'm sure he can do a little bit of that. That's pure and at the right moment. And has to be very careful with it, though, because some of that crowd don't have right moments, you know. But you know, they just don't like it. My children, the greatest complaint they've ever had with me is I spend too much time with the church and the things of God, and I've not had enough time to spend with them. And they could have a little right in it. And maybe I did go overboard. I don't know. I can't always look and know perfectly how it might be. But I can tell you this, I delight in the Word of God. And I meditate in it day and night. And I want to live in this Holy Bible because I know I'm safe in the Bible. When you got that Bible wrapped around your life, you as safe as if you'd already made it to heaven. Amen. Amen? Right. I wish more of you had the capacity to say amen. Amen. Somebody that's never said amen while I was preaching before, say it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who was that? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Never said amen while I was preaching. Would you say it? Oh, I heard it kind of low. Get some volume in it. Hallelujah. Get some strength in all you say. Brother Chambers, I know. I'm giving you a little fun time. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's verse 3. That's who? People in love with the Bible. People anchored in the truth. The love of the truth that saves. Stand up with me, would you? The love of the truth that saves. The love of the truth that saves. Somebody raise their hand and say with me, the love of the truth that saves. The love of the truth that saves. When you fall in love with this old truth, you know it'll possess you. You'll even be amazed at how it possesses you. Friend, we're at the end of this thing. If we just knew how close we were, wouldn't it be thrilling? And if some of you knew how close it was, you'd double down real quick. And since you don't know how close it is, you're kind of hesitant to double down. Well, I'm trying to get you to double down. I'm trying to get you to double down. Double down. Isn't that right, Brother Buck? Double down. The word of the truth that saves. The word of the truth that saves. The word of the truth that saves. Now, I want us to pray together. I want God's Holy Ghost to plant this in our hearts. And I want you to dedicate yourself tonight that I'm going to become a man, a woman of the truth. I've got to be saturated with it. I've got to be filled with it. I've got to be overwhelmed with it. Come quickly. Let's stand together at this sacred altar. Come, let's stand together at this sacred altar. Come, let's stand together before the great God of heaven. Hallelujah. I'm loving the truth. I'm loving the truth. I'm loving the truth. Brother Chambers, I've got to fall in love with the truth. Brother Chambers, I got to fall in love with the truth. How many can say, I'm really going to fall in love with this Bible like I never have? Are you ready, Brother Joe? Fall in love with this Bible. You said to me that God called you to try to work with people around here who talk Spanish. You speak perfect Spanish, don't you? Perfect Spanish. Well, God wants you witnessing to all these Spanish people that live all over this community. And I want you to prepare yourself, my brother. And the way you prepare is dig in that Bible. Delight in it day and night. Delight in it day and night. Delight in it day and night. Hallelujah. The love of the truth. Now throw your hands up and let's love on him. Let's give ourselves to the Word of God. Father, I love this Word of God with everything inside of me. I love this truth of the Bible. It has kept me for 63 plus years. Never has it let me down. Never has it failed me. Never have I needed some great deliverance that it didn't come. Never have I needed such a great miracle that it didn't show up. Never, 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 Lord, never. Hallelujah. You've always been faithful. I love this Word of God with everything inside of me. Hallelujah. I have no other passions but to know everything this Bible says. Everything in this holy book. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love the Word. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I love the Word of God. The strength that I need.
See, I'm asking for you to take hold of me. I'll just keep holding your hand till I make it. There's no need to think that I could even last or take it. But I will trust in you, dear Lord. That's where I'll keep holding your hand.